Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Wald, and you are listening to Ask the Blood Detective. I'm so excited about today's show because it's all about exercise and fitness and how exercise and fitness relates to longevity. In other words, increased quality of life, but also possibly length of life. You know, some of us have different goals in terms of our health, and often I'll speak with my patients and they'll say to me, Dr. Wald, I don't really care about living longer. I just want to live longer without disability. Now, when I say disability, I'm not speaking about you being in a wheelchair, for example. I'm speaking about having a chronic knee problem or shoulder problem or low back problem or anything neuromusculoskeletal, anything physical that prevents you from motion, that prevents you from enjoying life, from participating fully. So I'm going to be discussing a variety of really essential concepts of exercise and fitness. And I would encourage you to write these things down. By writing things down, you activate certain areas of that nervous system that bring your attention to the thing that you're concentrating on. And there is no other thing, really, in terms of health and lifestyle factor that is as important as exercise. Now, as a nutritional expert, I am admitting to you that I think that exercise is even more essential than what you eat and what supplements you take. Now, I didn't just say that what you eat and supplements are not hugely important and essential for not only general fitness, but to offset the onset of early disease and disability. But what I am saying is if you're going to do anything right at all, I believe it should be exercise. And for argument's sake, for those of you that are saying, well, I still don't really know if I believe that exercise is more important than diet and supplements is, it's okay. We don't have to choose one thing more important than another. So let's just talk about exercise. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because so many of you have asked me to talk about this topic. And I must admit as well that most of the people that I see really do not have a clear concept of the role of exercise and what exercise truly is. So they're off doing other things that are not having the effects that they want on their health. So why don't we start with a definition of exercise, just some concepts, because our definition of exercise, our understanding of exercise, has to do with how we set our exercise goals. And this is really key, everybody. An exercise goal should be specific. For example, as a marathon runner, if I exercise and I have the goal of a certain time or just the fact that I want to run a marathon, let's say in 6 months, I would have to exercise appropriately for that specific goal. Make sense? If I were a weightlifter and I wanted to lift a certain amount of weight, let's say in 2 months' time, I would have to set specific daily goals. And some of those daily goals, by the way, would be rest days. And then there would be food and stress reduction and stretching, all sorts of things. My point is, we want to have a goal. If you have a chronic disease, let's say fibromyalgia, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, any muscle or joint problem, and you want to rehab that problem with exercise, you should just not simply exercise and hope one day that things change. Specific goals will allow us to figure out what you need to do on a daily, weekly, monthly, even yearly basis so that you get somewhere, you know where you're going. I've admitted on earlier shows, I think it was the show on the nervous system, the brain, it was entitled, that when I was 18 and diagnosed with MS, I had some physical symptoms, and I was a very athletic young kid. I was one of the fastest kids in the state at the time, and I was in love with physical fitness. So the whole diagnosis of MS was, to say the very least, a horrifying downer for me. But I was lucky enough to have a father who was a doctor of chiropractic and also was a nutrition specialist and had a lot of common sense. And he helped me through these physical issues to the point where, at age 51 currently, I have no signs or symptoms of MS. I have run marathons, some of them as fast as 3 hours and 44 minutes. And I have no physical limitations. But the reason I bring this up to you is I had one physical limitation, not so much a limitation, but a persistent symptom of MS, where my right bicep was smaller than my left because the nerves or the nerve messages from my brain to my right bicep were not getting there appropriately or fully because of plaquing or a degenerative area in my brain at the site that controlled the what's known as the nerve innervation to my right bicep. So, long story short, every time I would do a push-up or a pull-up, my right bicep would always give out earlier. It would have chronic soreness. So I focused on rehabbing through nutrition and through specific types of exercise for not just my bicep, but for my brain. And now I no longer have that symptom. And again, at age 51, I can do at least 25 pull-ups in a row. Now, I don't say that to brag. I say that to express to you that if you have a specific goal in mind to work on a neurological problem, like in my case, or to work on a specific strength goal or flexibility goal or lowering your cholesterol or increasing your energy or improving your lymphatic flow because maybe you have a cancerous condition or you have some sort of a toxic condition, the list goes on and on in terms of health problems or goals that you'd want to manage. Or many of you are, you feel you're perfectly healthy. You might have a goal, again, like I do, of being extremely fit with no limitations. And that is entirely possible for many of us, but we sell ourselves short. Set the goal and then figure out what it takes to get there. And sometimes you need to do it with the help of someone like myself or a trainer, for example. See, I'm someone who has expert study in nutrition, but I also made it my business to become a physical trainer to go through that education so I really understood exercise. And then I specialized in sports nutrition studies, being a double certified in sports nutrition. These are the steps that I took for myself personally because I did not want to age like the average man. So exercise can help you age very, very differently if it's done correctly. So I'm going to ask you right now to listen carefully, but to question whether or not you're really exercising. So I said, let's talk about a definition of exercise. So here's one definition right from the dictionary. The act of bringing into play or realizing in action. In other words, movement. Exercise needs to be movement. It can be slow movement. It can be fast movement. It depends on what you're trying to do. Also, to expand that definition, exercise can be defined as regular or repeated use of the body or organ during the course of exertion. Now that's key. For exercise to be additive in terms of health and physical benefits, it needs to be repeated. You know, people say to me often, they'll say, Dr. Wald, you know, I'm gonna do this nutrition you're speaking to me about, but what happens if you fix my problem and then I stop doing it? Well, I need to take these supplements. Well, I need to eat this way forever. And I say, well, you know, it's similar to exercise. If you exercise and you have a certain level of fitness and you stop, you will lose that level of fitness. It is the same with any other health effort. So yes, sadly, I love exercising, but for some, sadly, yes, you would need to continue a certain amount of exercise. Now, the thing is, it may take you a certain amount of exercise to get to a certain level of fitness. And once you reach that level and you've conditioned yourself and adapted to that level, it may not take nearly as much effort to stay there. So that's a key concept too. Some of you who do not exercise are listening to this saying, oh my goodness, this is a lot of work. It's not a lot of work because whenever I design an exercise plan for someone, I start where they're at. So the thing about exercise is for it to be incorporated into your life and to become a part of your being, it needs to be something that is doable and needs to be consistent with what your goals are. Now, let's continue a little bit more with some definitions of exercise. Something performed or practiced in order to develop, improve, or display a specific capability. So if you want to run fast, you need to practice running fast. If you want to perform something slowly but over an extended period of time, whether it's Tai Chi or martial arts or running or yoga, whatever it may be, then you would want to practice that. However, there's something known as cross training. For example, I cross train. I want to run marathons quickly, very fast. But in order to do that, I don't simply just run fast. There are days I run hills only, and other days I run very slowly, relatively speaking, for long periods of time. And then I get into the gym and I'll do exercises for my my muscles. So that's an example of cross training, where we do muscular exercises, let's say with weights, and then we might do something on the road, walking, running, whatever it is, cross training. It might be biking, yoga, doing different sorts of things that have a, not just a synergistic effect upon the body, but an additive effect. Okay? Now, here's another definition of exercise: a performance or activity having a strongly marked secondary effect upon organ systems. So there are different types of exercise. Some of those exercises are more important. This is a key distinction, everyone, for the cardiovascular system. There are other types of exercises that would be best for, let's say, the lymphatic system, like trampolining or inversions in yoga. Those might be better for lymphatics than, let's say, running or jogging might be for the cardiovascular system. And then there are types of exercises to make muscles larger and types of exercises to make muscles stronger or more flexible. And I think it's important that for each individual, once you set your health goals and exercise goals and fitness goals, that we put together a plan that works for you. So when I say to someone, all right, John or Mary, we're going to talk about fitness and exercise, and people shake their heads because they assume that they already know what that means. I can promise you that most people have no clue, most people that I've seen in 27 years of clinical practice, about how to exercise for the specific health problems, even how to exercise differently based on certain medications you have, or certain abnormal blood work and tests that you've had done. Now, during today's show, I'll be talking about nutritional supplements related to exercise performance and enhancement, how certain abnormalities on testing will affect your exercise results. So if you're exercising hard, but you're, let's say, iron anemic, or you're protein deficient, or you malabsorb, for example, these factors will kill a lot of the benefits that you're trying to do through exercise. And I know this happens because quite often a client will come to me, to my office, and they're discouraged with their exercise program. They'll basically say to me, Dr. Wald, I am just not getting results. I've exercised all my life. They give me a list of the activities they're doing, and they're not seeing changes in either their physical appearance. They're still winded throughout the day. Their muscle tone is poor. Their skin color and tone is poor. And these lack of results can be attributed to many, many different variables. Now, one simply might be that they're exercising wrong. What they think is exercise for them is not working. So if you're confused as to why you do not have the benefits that you want from your exercise plan because you think you're doing it right, consider you're not. That's fine. If you continue to do whatever you're doing now, you will generally get the same lack of results. Or in some of your cases here, you're actually getting some results, but I can tell you, you want to try to push that envelope. You always want to be improving your fitness. That should always be your goal, because the course of normal aging, which almost no one is aging normally, we're aging far more prematurely now due to a variety of factors in our lives, our fitness levels simply continue to go down unless we push them up. Now, eventually, we will all decline. But if you can picture in your mind's eye shooting an arrow up in the air, your fitness can go up, 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 and then it would slowly come down. And the average individual that does not have goals of continually improving their exercise and fitness, they will drop down far more sharply. And again, if there are medications involved or other diseases, chronic health problems, these impact your exercise efforts. So you always want to combine the knowledge gained from your blood chemistry. Remember, I'm the blood detective, so I want to know about blood chemistry, and making sure that your chemistry matches and can keep pace with your exercise efforts, and vice versa. So I think we need to ask, you know, what constitutes exercise? Is all physical activity considered exercise? Absolutely not. The answer is a big no. Unfortunately, there's not, you know, a percentage that can be given to an amount of activity that's considered exercise. But I can tell you this. This is another key point. Write it down. Exercise should be defined as any activity that is harder than what you do on a daily basis. So when that person says to me, well, Dr. Wald, you know, I'm running around all day. I do shopping. I manage the kids. I go to work. I'm up and down. I never sit. That is not exercise. That's daily activity, which is critical. That's wonderful. But exercise is something beyond that. So the definition of exercise, therefore, really needs to vary for individuals because the type of exercise and the goals of that exercise is, again, different for individuals. So what might be considered an exercise for one person may not be for another. So if you usually go for a walk each night after dinner, then walking, you know, at that pace would be considered physical activity. It's not exercise. If you ride your bike to work every day, you know, cycling at a certain pace, and you're doing that every day, that is physical activity. It's not exercise. Let me explain further, because I can understand why what I just said might be a little confusing. You know, when you first try an activity, it's new to you and your body feels challenged by this unknown stimulus. So as you start performing the activity on a daily basis, your body starts to adapt. And over time, it becomes much less challenging what you're doing. So the truth is that you're getting better at doing that activity and you don't need to work as hard, right? Okay, now. So clearly you are improving some fitness, but soon those improvements with this activity you're getting used to will simply plateau, they'll balance out. In other words, when the stimulus of the new activity becomes familiar to your body, the end result will be fewer calories burned and less stress on the body. And I say stress in a positive way because the body needs stress to adapt and change. So in order for the body to alter its body composition, you know, the amount of fat, muscle, and water, and how organs function, and for you to see changes in your physical appearance, the body must be challenged. That's called the overload principle. And how I figure that out for each person must be based on genetics, health goals, blood work, certain health problems, physical limitations. I think you can understand that. So if you're doing your routine exercise every day, there's a problem if you're not changing it. So the principle, the overload principle, states that there needs to be a stimulus of higher intensity than usually performed to elicit any adaptations or changes in the body. And without an overload or something that is high enough intensity or just different, folks, just different, the body will not change. So if your body can get the job done in the status it is presently in the state of fitness it's presently in, then it's not going to make an extra effort to become stronger or leaner. Your body's concerned with survival, not merely maintaining itself. The body is built to get better. I got better. So after changing the exercises that you're performing from time to time, which should be based on what your, again, your goals are and your level of health, the next step is to you want to appropriately progress the intensity. Your body will start to adapt to your new routine, and then you'll need to stop guessing what's next. So if I keep doing 25 push-ups every day, three times a day, and that's easy for me, well, it's no longer exercise. Now, for aerobic training, you know, a suggestion I would have, and again, this is not specific advice for anyone listening. All of this information is educational only. We'd have to sit down and figure this out for you, but a suggestion for aerobic exercise would be to work at an intensity that is challenging to you. When working aerobically, an intensity closest to what's known as your anaerobic threshold will allow you to go to the next level. And I figure this out with people by asking them to purchase a very inexpensive heart rate monitor. And those numbers tell me where to start for you. Again, that's another key point you want to write down. Getting a heart rate monitor and then speaking with someone who's qualified to figure out where and how you need to exercise with that as a baseline. And when I say that, I mean your heart rate. And by the way, folks, those calorie counters on machines like in gyms, those should not be your guides. They're inaccurate. They're used as marketing tools for consumers. I'm not sure about each one of you, but I certainly have had the experience of staying on one of these machines and it tells me I'm burning a certain amount of calories and it just doesn't happen. Because when I do what is known as a bioimpedance test in my office, which is a medical test that lets me know my metabolic rate and my percentage of muscle, water, and fat, so I know the actual effects, the health benefits of exercise, it is not consistent with these machines. Besides, and this is another key point, I'm going to mention every key point for you to write down, because these are not things you hear every day, but they can make the difference between you wasting hours, days, weeks, months, years in the gym with exercise. The calorie counters on these machines are programmed into them based on a 150-pound person with no consideration whatsoever to that mythical 150-pound person or their genetic makeup or their fitness status or their health. Again, it's just wrong. Plus, someone who's much more fit will burn fewer calories on one of these machines than someone who is less fit. I'll say that again. If you're less fit and you start working out on these machines, you're going to burn more calories because your body is not conditioned to the exercise. So it's going to burn calories quickly, but then it balances out. And then people are like, what's happening? How come I'm not burning more calories? I'm not losing more weight. The more fit a person is, the harder they have to work to burn more calories. Now, I should say at this point, the point of exercise is not merely just to lose fat, but that's one of them. Again, we want to improve cardiovascular function, pulmonary function, renal function, hormonal health. Everything can be impacted through exercise, particularly when it's combined appropriately for your goals, your health goals, your specific place you're at currently, building from there, and your overall nutritional status. Now, to speak practical again, you know, have you ever seen someone in the gym on some kind of machine? Maybe it's a cable row machine or a stair step or whatever they're doing, and they're doing repetition after repetition. They're going on for hours or they're going on for a very long periods of time, and they don't even look a bit fatigued. That means these people are deconditioning themselves. If they do not push it more, then they are not adapting. You always want to be adapting, not necessarily every single workout, but most of your workouts, absolutely. If your goal is to offset your risk, as I said earlier, of chronic degenerative diseases, causes of early death, and to, very importantly, and maybe most importantly, improve the quality of your life. Doctors these days, I'm generalizing here, of course, will say, oh yeah, you should exercise, your cholesterol's high, you should do something aerobic, which that would be a lot of information given by the average physician, I'm sorry to say, but that's not specific enough. There are many different types of exercise, and again, write this one down, please. Mixing it up, all these different types of exercise, number one, helps reduce boredom, and also helps cut your risk of injury, and enhances all the form of exercises that you do. So let me review now some basic categories of exercise. There are four essential categories. There's endurance exercise, there's strength, exercise. You're writing this down. Endurance, there's strength. There's balance exercise, and there's flexibility. Everyone, in my opinion, should do some amount of each of those. The proportions of the type of exercise would be different for your goals. So endurance exercise or aerobic activities increase your breathing rate, your heart rate. They keep your lungs, your heart, your circulatory system in top shape. And by building your endurance, it makes it much easier for you to carry out all sorts of activities of daily living. So that's something you want to write down. Activities of daily living are things like walking and maybe a light little short jog, yard work, dancing. These are things that aerobic or endurance activities help to improve. Then the second category of exercise is strength training. So strength exercises make your muscles stronger. Even small increases in strength can make a big difference in your ability to stay independent in your life, to take care of yourself, and to carry out everyday activities. Again, climbing upstairs, carrying groceries, things of that nature. So strength training includes things like lifting weights, resistance bands, exercises that employ your body weight. And when I sit down with people to develop their plans, I make sure that they can do what it is I'm asking them to do, and we build from there. Okay, so we've covered that. There's endurance exercise, we've covered there's strength exercise, now there's balance exercise. So balance exercises are very important because as people grow older, many people simply cannot, their proprioception is off, fancy term for balance, and they can't move fast and do things that they want. So balance exercises help prevent falls, which is a very common problem, as we all know, in older individuals. And many lower body strength exercises are particularly important for improving your balance. You know, standing on one foot, heel to toe walking, Tai Chi. There are many, many other balance exercises. As we grow older, we tend to lose strength and balance and coordination in our lower extremities. Then we don't move around as well. Then our cardiovascular system, our lymphatic system, our muscle tone, strength, balance, coordination, all of that suffers. So once again, summary, endurance we've talked about, strength and balance. The last major category of exercise is flexibility. So flexibility exercises stretch your muscles, your ligaments, your tendons, your joints, can help your body stay very, very limber. So things like shoulder and arm stretches and calf stretches and yoga. The point, though, is many people overstretch as well. We don't have time to really get into that today, but stretching must be appropriate for the area that you're exercising. So if you're a runner, spending 25 minutes or a half an hour to warm up your arms is a waste of time. So this is a controversial area, basically, but it seems to me that you want to stretch an area that you are going to work with. So if I'm going to work out my upper body, my chest and arms in the gym today, and my shoulders, I'm going to do stretches of those areas. And I'm not going to bounce during these stretches. When you bounce, you can cause micro tears in your muscle tissue. So you want to hold a stretch. As you're stretching, you want to let a breath out. You want to exhale. And if you're stretching, let's say, your neck to the right side, take a breath in, turn your head to the right, look in the direction of your stretch always, and that immediately improves how far and how well you can stretch. So that's another key point. Look in the direction of your stretch always. Don't look away. And let a breath out as you relax into the stretch. Let me speak for a moment about if you should get sick. And if you're sick, should you exercise? Well, of course, some of this is common sense, but clearly, if you're knocked out from a flu, you don't want to exercise in a gym. That will worsen your recovery, and it's just not generally possible. Not to mention, you'll infect everyone in the gym. But we do know that fit people, when they do get sick from flus or pneumonia or anything else, they recover from illness much more quickly than those that are not in shape. But if you, you know, for example, have a cold or you feel a flu coming on, you should certainly change your workout routine. If you feel like you're getting the garden variety cold, you can still exercise without significant limitations. But if you begin to feel worse after your workout, you know, just cut it back. Reflect on how your body's managing things. Take a few days off, for example, maybe reduce your effort to about maybe 50% or so of normal capacity. Just check in with yourself as you're doing your exercise. Have longer rest periods. Make sure to hydrate. So can't say too much today about how to exercise when you're sick. Just to let you know that you can, generally speaking. And for some people, they know that exercise makes them feel better when they're sick. I know that when I have a headache, which I get rarely, if I run, my headache goes away. It goes right away. So exercise can help a lot of symptoms. Now, let's segue into the role of nutrition a bit in exercise. I'll also repeat some of the things I've said earlier a little bit differently in this context. So, you know, when your muscles engage in exercise, you know, whether or not it's cardio or resistance training or a flexibility workout, the body tends to steal nutrition from other areas. So if you see a health practitioner and let's say you're given a certain healthy diet and you're recommended certain supplements, if you haven't talked in detail about your exercise, then whatever nutritional recommendations have been made for you cannot be correct. The stress or stressors that exercise imposes on the body are largely nutritional. So you need, maybe you can think of it this way. There's nutrition for your heart disease, nutrition for your fibromyalgia, nutrition for your Lyme disease, nutrition for all that stuff. And if you're exercising too, your exercise needs need to be considered. And then, this is another important point to write down, the combined nutritional needs of your exercise and your health need to be considered in context. So supplying your body with nutrients before your workout, during your workout, after your workout, all of these are known as nutrition timing, and they can make a huge, huge difference in the progress you make during exercise, the recovery your body can afford from exercise. And that's something, again, that needs to be based upon your type of exercise, your duration. But generally speaking, no matter what sort of exercise, I'm very much a believer in timing your nutritional intake, even taking your supplements pre-workout, during, and post in specific ways. For example, if you want to get larger muscles, everyone should be looking at that because they atrophy as you're aging. And when your muscles are increased in size or tone, your circulation, lymphatic system is improved, general sense of well-being. My point is, if you have a protein after your workout within an hour, studies have shown you will recover much better and have a better workout effect next time. Now, let's talk a bit about protein. So the protein that you eat and protein supplements that you might take serve several essential functions for exercise. So first of all, the predominant component of muscle, what muscle tissue is made of, is protein. So it is true that consuming protein helps to build new muscle fibers, helps to repair damaged tissues from your workout. You know, you need a little bit of damage, by the way, to build up tissues. So it's essential that you have that nutrition available. Now, whether it's in the form of supplements or whether it's in the form of foods, it's also important that you are absorbing these things. So I always do tests of absorption and protein absorption in all of my patients. Otherwise, how can I help anyone with nutrition? Think about it. If you've ever seen any healthcare provider that professes to give you nutritional advice that's based on your needs, but doesn't start with an absorption test, there's a problem. And if you're exercising, or by the way, very similarly, if you have disease or chronic health problems, exercise and dysfunctions and disease both increase nutritional requirements. So they're actually treated sort of similarly. Now, moving on to carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are basically sugars. There's different types of sugars. Now, if you're running long distances at the end of that race, you want to take in more sugar. You don't want to take in, brown rice at the end of a long race. You actually want a more simple sugar. Now, there are other times when you want to have the less refined and more natural forms of carbohydrates from, let's say, plants. Those are the foods that you eat daily. But during and around exercise, you might need nutritional supplements that have different forms of sugars that help to replete and help your body repair the deficiencies caused from the exercise and to build it up to get the benefit of the exercise. Now, when it comes to vitamins and minerals, there are dozens, if not 100 different nutrients or so that the body may need depending on, again, your health concerns, your genetics, your health goals, your absorption, your malabsorption, your chronic health problems, and the fitness that you're focusing on improving now and your specific training. Water requirements also are dramatically different during exercise in terms of need, post-exercise, and even during the course of your daily living. Just saying that you drink a lot of water doesn't mean you're well hydrated. In fact, depending on the type of water you drink, you could be flushing your body of essential electrolytes. So I do tests to figure out both the inter and the extracellular water, along with one's metabolic rate, percentage of muscle, water, fat. These are essential things to figure out so that you know how much nutrition you should have every day for your specific health goals and, very importantly, folks, from where you want to get that nutrition, meaning how much protein, how much carbs, how much of the healthy types of fats, what vitamins, minerals, or herbs or bioidentical hormones might help you enhance your athletic performance and your exercise benefits. These are all the things that I love exploring with individuals. So I think we've established that nutrition can help enhance physical activity and all levels of athletic performance. And an active lifestyle, a regular exercise routine, along with eating well, whatever eating well might mean for you, it can be very different from person to person. It is the best way to manage your fitness. So eating a good diet will provide you with the right energy that you need. Now, if you're doing your exercise and you're tired all the time, you're not getting enough calories. You might, and in terms of where you should be getting those extra calories, whether it's from carbs, proteins, fats, or a combination, that's something that can be determined. But it's not always very clear. So the so-called ideal diet for anyone exercising is very, very different from person to person. If you're exercising, for example, to build your bone density because your doctor told you that you have bone weakness, osteopenia, or just outright extreme bone loss, osteoporosis, you need to make sure that your protein, carb, fat, your vitamins, minerals, and other herbs and some bioidentical hormones are there and you're taking them and matching your exercise efforts and what the goals are for your particular exercise. So what I do, practically speaking with people, is first I put them on certain fundamental dietary, I would say daily practices. One is not to eat refined processed sugars, carbohydrates, desserts, no saturated fat, no trans fats, you know, all the things that all of you have heard before. But then I have to adjust all of those foods for the individual, including their exercise, which is only one component of who they are. The type of sport or activity, the amount of training that you do, the amount of time you spend doing whatever activity or exercise, all of these factors and many more need to be considered if you're looking for a lifestyle change that adds up to offsetting of disease, improved quality of life, spending less time aging in the disability stage of your life. Some of you are thinking about now is, well, when is he going to tell me exactly how much water to take? How much water should I drink? Again, some say drink 6 to 8 glasses of water a day. This is a meaningless number. It has nothing to do with any of your needs. But I suppose that could be a minimum. Others say look at your urine because, you know, if your urine is clear, then you're overhydrated. Your urine should generally be straw colored, except If you're taking nutritional supplements, that concept goes right out the window. You cannot use your urine color to assess your fluid intake if you're taking even a multivitamin. So I tend to calculate out fluid balance based on a few factors. One being measuring the fluid content of the body relative to muscle and fat. And then to make certain suggestions for that person as they try and go through their exercise routines and activities of daily living, etc. And then making sure that everything is balancing out objectively on testing. And then the real proof, too, is that they're really progressing in their exercise routines and benefits over time. Let me speak a little bit more about, chronic disease. So if you have a chronic disease, whether it's heart disease, asthma, diabetes, back or joint pain, exercise can have essential positive impacts. You should always consult with a healthcare provider that knows exercise relative to chronic disease and risks that might occur as well. But overall, and when done right under supervision, exercise can improve so many chronic health problems. So exercise can help you manage your symptoms, improves your overall health and well-being, your sense of well-being. It's a mood elevator. So it's all very, very good, but not everyone with hypertension necessarily should be just exercising. So, but we know that the proper exercise will help lower blood pressure. But not everyone who exercises, let's say, for reducing cholesterol will find that their exercise efforts work. Why? Well, maybe they're not meeting their extra nutritional needs during their exercise. So looking at all of these different factors actually makes the process of figuring out the type, the intensity, and the frequency of your exercise relative to your chronic health problem much, much easier. It can't simply be go exercise. But let me give you just a little more guidance there. You know, if you have low back pain, for example, you might want to choose a low impact aerobic exercise like swimming or just walking. If you have exercise-induced asthma, for example, you might want to choose exercises that are relatively short, such as, well, first I should say short in terms of bursts of activity, maybe like tennis or even baseball. If you have arthritis, the type of exercise should be based on the type of arthritis. And again, whether it's cancer or migraines, the type of activity needs to be tailored towards not just the type of chronic health problem, but how you specifically are managing that. Now, in the remainder of the show, right now, I'd like you to think very carefully about these specific nutritional supplement recommendations or concepts that I'm going to share with you. Now, as the blood detective, again, that's my nickname, I like to look at the chemistry, figure out what people's needs are rather than treating them like, health textbooks. I prefer to write the book on each person. I'll take their blood work. I'll check them in a variety of areas. I nutritionally interpret that blood work. Now, that doesn't mean I just measure levels of vitamins in the blood or minerals. By the way, please listen to my past show known as Vitamin Lies and also the show about testing, because the public in general is way off on their concepts of how accurate they think blood work is for nutrient levels. A vitamin D blood level is an accurate level, but measuring the levels of most of the water-soluble nutrients, vitamin B1, 2, 3, 6, vitamin C, for example, these are not accurate. They only really tell you nutritional intake and balance of those nutrients for the prior maybe 3 or 4 days. So having said that, there are many different evaluations and factors that can let me know what nutrition a person needs. But right now I'm going to talk about some key supplements in general. Now, I am speaking about the supplements that I make, of course, because those are the ones that I'm familiar with, and I only use pharmaceutical grade products. So when I talk about the health benefits of these supplements right now, it's not that my supplements specifically were studied in the scientific studies that I'll be referencing as I speak about them, but rather that I have looked at this literature and put together specific combinations of supplements under my Blood Detective line of products. Now, the first thing we need when we exercise is we have to have appropriate B vitamins. And in particular, I have a product called Active Folate, which has the activated form of folic acid, what's known as the L5-methyl tetrahydrofolate. That one is immediately available for energy, and we need energy to benefit from exercise. And in terms of dosing, I would generally suggest that people start with the dosing on the bottles and not to take supplements unless you've consulted with someone. Also, B12, but in a sublingual. I find this personally very useful for improving my endurance in any activity I do when I simply put it under my tongue during the activity. Another nutrient in the B vitamin family, very important for exercise, performance, and enhancement, is known as alpha-lipoic acid. Now, many of you have heard about that. Alpha-lipoic acid is an antioxidant. It helps protect the liver, yes, but it also is essential for certain energetic pathways found in most tissues of the body. And I've combined it, the lipoic acid, with L-carnitine, which is an amino acid required to enhance this part of the cell where energy is produced called the mitochondria. So alpha-lipoic acid is very important, particularly if there's heart disease, diabetes, blood sugar problems involved. And then because exercise increases our protein requirements or our requirements for amino acids make up proteins. I always provide amino acids. I have a product known as Aminos Complete, which contains essential and what are called non-essential amino acids, both very important for offsetting the breakdown of tissues that naturally results from exercise so that you can build up your tissues. And if you exercise regularly, whether it's on a mild level or a very hard level, you're going to increase your amino acid requirements. Now, if you're working on your depression or your low energy or your detoxification and you're not taking extra amino acids, which are required for detoxification and energy and repair, your exercise will deplete you further. So you need to compensate for that. So Aminos Complete. Now, what about anemia? Anemia means deficiency. You can have a vitamin C anemia. You can have a B vitamin anemia. You can have, of course, an iron anemia. There are over a dozen types, at least, of protein anemias of anemias. Now, let me just discuss the iron. So I use a form of iron known as bioavailable iron. This does not cause gastric upset, and it's a particular type of a molecule of iron that is very, very gentle upon the intestinal tract. If you are iron anemic, you will not have proper oxygen exchange with your tissue. So clearly, that will adversely impact any exercise efforts. So in terms of iron, if you are anemic or you have low normal levels of hemoglobin or low normal levels or low levels of hematocrit, or if your serum iron is low, you likely need iron, although you need to investigate first what the cause of your iron anemia is before supplementing with iron. A person could be anemic because they have a tumor that's causing bleeding, or they might just have internal hemorrhoids or external hemorrhoids, or they might be menstruating. So you need to know why you're iron anemic and then supply iron, because even a mild anemia will seriously impact exercise efforts. Now, blood sugar is obviously essential for exercise. There are many factors that control your blood sugar. Exercise itself will lower your blood sugar. Regular exercise will have a tendency to lower your blood sugar. And it's important that you consume, healthy protein, carbs, and fats, and eat something at regular intervals throughout your day. You want to basically graze on food throughout the day. That's a much healthier way of being in general, not to mention enhancing your exercise and your health by keeping your blood sugar level steady. But when you do heavy exercise, that's why it's important that you consume certain nutritional supplements and certain sports nutrition drinks or shakes that are for your health and are timed right during your exercise efforts. So for example, I have four products known as Detox 1, Detox 2, Detox 3, and Detox 4. These are superfood concentrates of plant products. And they're diluted in water to taste at about a half a scoop each, all mixed together at the same time. I drink this, I sip it right before any exercise that I do, no matter what type. And I sip it during that exercise, and then I finish it up within the next hour post-exercise. It makes me feel great, it repletes my electrolytes, it helps balance out my blood sugar, and it tastes really good. So that's Detox 1 through 4. I also have a product known as Detox 5. Detox 5 is, you can think of it as a protein product, but it is a very absorbable form of protein. You must have protein to build and respond to your exercise efforts. You must have protein to heal any other health problem you might have. You must have proteins for the detoxification process. You must have proteins to build your immune system. And exercise, by the way, tends to lower your immune system. Yeah, this is generally known to happen. So if you improve your dietary efforts and other aspects of your lifestyle, like reducing your stress and getting enough sleep, appropriate water, for example, you offset that. So the Detox 5 product, I'll start most of my patients with one drink a day, each drink containing two scoops of my Detox 5, which is an organic rice-based protein with other nutritional synergists that are very well tolerated. It tastes great, and it's fundamental for exercise. Now, exercise is a stress, and exercise enhances organ function, which is a stress, the stress of healing. So vitamin C is very important for exercise, and the need for vitamin C is increased exponentially during exercise. So I have a form of vitamin C called Detox Eliminate. Detox Eliminate is a buffered, powdered form of vitamin C. I'd have the average person that sees me start with one level teaspoon in 2 to 3 ounces of water, diluted to taste. And what that does is it offsets the vitamin C increased need from exercise. Vitamin C improves cartilage repair. It's an anti-inflammatory. It improves cellular energy output. And this is important, folks. Exercise can increase, and often does, increase the acidity of the body. You've heard of lactic acid and how that causes the discomfort of exercise. Well, even without the discomfort, your body produces more lactic acid, as it lowers its oxygen concentration in cells. So Detox Eliminate is buffered. It's an antacid, in a sense, of vitamin C. Now, if you're over 50 and you're exercising, no matter the type, and you want to keep your bones in great shape, because without your bones being in great shape, you're in trouble. Soft bones cause joint destruction. They cause fractures. They cause increased morbidity and mortality. Not good. So I put together something called Calcium Micro Complex. So this is a bone meal, in a sense. And if you combine this with a balanced diet for you, along with your exercise, properly focused exercise for bone density, it can, and ingredients in this product have been shown to offset the loss of bone density and to improve bone density. Now let's say, moving along, you're exercising to reduce your cholesterol. Well, that's great. Many people find their exercise won't do it or not enough. So I have a product called Cholest, C-H-O-L-E-S-T Complex. It contains several essential elements that the body requires in different metabolic pathways to manage cholesterol. Now, what you may not know about exercise is that exercise can create inflammation. Think about that. Pain, changes in the body, degeneration of cells, the buildup of new cells. Inflammation happens during exercise. And inflammation can raise cholesterol levels. So here we're talking about how exercise can increase cholesterol levels. It has happened. But if you have the appropriate diet and perhaps add something like Cholest, that'll help offset the inflammation that can be caused from exercise, which can cause a rise in cholesterol. Next product, very important, is DHA oil. DHA is part of that fish oil, EPA DHA, but DHA is particularly important for improving neurologic function. You need your nervous system to tell your muscles how to work and to feed your cardiovascular system. Everything in the body is dependent on the nervous system. And one of the fundamental goals for all of us, I think, for exercise is reducing our cardiovascular risk. And DHA is known to do that. DHA oil in particular helps coat the intestinal tract, is great for healing of leaky gut, small intestine bacterial overgrowth in the gut, all kinds of inflammatory issues in the gut. And the other thing that's not as known is that DHA, that omega-3, when you have a greater content of it in the body, it helps the body burn fat much, much better. So the only reason not to take DHA is if you're on blood thinners. Then you could take it, but it has to be under supervision because DHA helps to thin the blood, which is a good thing because thinner blood means that cells aren't stuck together, they can oxygenate better, but you have to talk to your doctor before you take any nutrients if you're on Coumadin or aspirin or any other type of blood thinner. About one level tablespoon of DHA is what I tend to start with people. Now let's talk about two natural hormones, DHEA. Okay, DHEA is an adrenal hormone, and then another hormone called pregnenolone, not progesterone, but pregnenolone. So I have DHEA 25 on my blood detective website and pregnenolone. I generally start with one capsule of each of these for people over 50 in the morning, unless there's a reason why they shouldn't take these hormones. These hormones are not even legal in the Olympics or in other special events because they improve athletic performance. They tend to improve stamina, strength, coordination, focus. They have been very well studied in the anti-aging area. I've used them myself for many years, and they're fantastic for exercise as exercise enhancers. They won't work alone. Nothing here is going to bump you to the next level unless your diet is appropriate and other factors are managed, but these are important. These are very important in my opinion. And then I mentioned earlier that that immunity can be reduced from exercise and how important protein was. And many of the other nutrients I've talked about that you can find on the blooddetective.com website do help immunity. But if you're exercising particularly rigorously, I have a product known as that's called Detox Immunoglobulin G that is basically powdered immunity. It's been studied to enhance or reduce, I should say, one's risk of infection. And upper respiratory tract infections are much more common in chronic exercisers. Another very, very key nutrient for fat burning and to maintain your lean organ mass and your lean muscle tissue is called MCT, medium chain triglycerides. It's a liquid. I start people with a teaspoon a day. MCTs are burned during exercise, and whereby increasing metabolic rate, helping you burn fat better. They're also very important for promoting what's known as ketogenesis, you know, ketones. You may have heard some of you that helps burn fat. Two more nutrients real quickly before we end. Ubiquinol. Now you've heard of CoQ10 maybe? CoQ10 is ubiquinone. That's great stuff, but ubiquinol is 8 times better. Ubiquinol is the active form of CoQ10, which you need for cellular energy. That's been shown to reduce cardiovascular risk, increase general energy, energy of cells for repair. This is great stuff. I tend to start people with about 100 milligrams a day of ubiquinol. And then vitamin D. If you need vitamin D deficiency or insufficiency, if your vitamin D levels on your blood are not at least the 70, you need more vitamin D. And vitamin D has been shown to improve exercise performance in a lot of ways. It improves how you use minerals. It helps lower cholesterol. Wonderful stuff. So we're going to conclude today's show on exercise. I hope you gained something from it in terms of just thinking a little bit differently about exercise, the types of exercise, how it must be individualized for you, and of course, the importance of essential nutrition. So for those of you new to the show, thank you so much for listening today. The next show is all about probiotics. You think you know about probiotics, Acidophilus, and all these other bugs? I'm going to tell you about ways of using them that you have never heard of before that can bring you to the next level in terms of benefits of probiotics. For example, should you take them with digestive enzymes? Should you take them with stomach acid? So much cool stuff. You're going to love this one. So listen to the next show all about probiotics. So my name is Dr. Michael Wald, and if you want to work with me personally, I'm happy to work with you either by phone or over Skype or some type of media. And of course, face-to-face, you can call me at my office at 914-242-8844. 914-242-8844. My website for nutrients is www.blooddetective.com. And please email me your show ideas. I'm loving these concepts you're giving me at info@blooddetective.com. Now, I'm away for a week next week, but email me. You'll see instructions to become a new patient of mine or to send in your questions. Thank you again, and I'll talk to you soon. Have a great day, everyone.